Book of Philippians tonight, Philippians chapter number one, Philippians chapter number one, and it is good to be in church tonight. And so I'm going to pick up in this series on church health, and I don't know how long, much longer we're going to be in it, a year or two, but I'm going to, I've got a few more after tonight, but tonight I'm going to teach a lesson that at first you may be, why in the world are you teaching this, even though it's in this series of church health? As you know, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, I was in Tennessee helping a church that does not have a pastor, and reached out to us and asked me if I would give some spiritual oversight and if we as a church would be kind of that stability for them. And so they're watching our live stream, I believe, tonight. Antoine, sit up. They're at Sunday night. They'll be watching our live stream. Midweek service, they're watching our live stream. They assemble, sing when we sing. And you say, well, that sounds a little bit different. It may sound a little bit different, but I think it's right. And I'm going to touch on a little bit of that tonight, and I'm setting that up because a lot of what I'm going to say tonight, I taught them when I was up there. And so with this idea of church health, let's look at Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. This is not my message tonight, but let's just let those words sink in for a minute. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That's not just talking about your words. That's talking about your lifestyle, your manners. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Tonight I'm going to teach on how a healthy church stays strong without a pastor. On how a healthy church stays strong without a pastor. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you would just help us as we look in your word. May we adopt these truths and may we apply them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are some things you don't want to wait until the emergency to figure out. You don't want to wait till the house is on fire to find out where the exits are. You don't wait until the storm hits to prepare. I mean, unless you live in Florida and the hurricane's coming. But preparation is wisdom. The same is true for a church. Most churches only think about leadership transitions when they are forced to. There's a transition. There's a death. There's a resignation. But by then, emotions are high. And stability is low. Healthy churches don't wait for a crisis to learn how to stand or to learn what to do. They build strength ahead of time. Now, let me be clear. I love being your pastor. I'm not going anywhere. I plan to be here. I have no intentions. And God is just revealing more and more and more of what He is allowing this church to be a part of. So I don't want you reading into this and saying he's leaving. Now, if there's a church in Hawaii that needs help, I may go help them for a little while. You got Tennessee mountains, you got Hawaii. Anyway, this isn't an announcement. This is a lesson on a healthy church. And if I'm going to do my responsibility, I should prepare the church for when I'm not the pastor. It's no different than a husband preparing for after he's gone for his wife and family. The same is true of you as a church member, as a Christian, should be thinking as well, after I'm gone, what am I leaving behind? But it's important that we understand what the Bible teaches, and I'm going to be honest, I'm going to get to some things that I think have become Baptist tradition that you don't find Bible precedent for. And I'll just say now, it's not evil things, and God has certainly used it, but it's not Bible precedent. You know, the lesson is this. A church should never be one man away from a collapse. See, if everything rises or falls on the personality, and when I say personality, not just my winning personality, but who the pastor is, then the church really isn't healthy because that's dependency. Jesus never designed to depend on one man, his church to depend on one man. And part of the strength of this church is that it doesn't depend on one man. This is a church full of healthy Christians. I don't mean physically healthy, but spiritually healthy Christians. They love the Lord. They would serve the Lord, no matter who else was serving the Lord. But it's important that we understand this, and the Bible teaches how. So how can a church stay healthy? The day is going to come, whether we like it or not, and maybe you'll like it, that if the Lord tarries His coming, the day is going to come, I will not be the pastor here. Now, I believe that will be many years in the future, 40, 50. I believe that. I mean, that'll be a long time away. And let me just, again, set some of you at ease. I have no premonition. I'm not struggling with a call to somewhere else. I'm not, believe me, we've set too much in motion. You know, this is where God has placed me. So, but when the time comes, I hope you cry. I hope there's no big party. I hope you are emotional. So then in your emotion, if you've been taught right, you don't let your emotions dictate this is what we have to have. It's what is the Bible principle and precedent for what is next for us. One day there's a generation of us, my generation and older, we're going to be gone, and the kids that are among us, they're going to be the church. It's important for us to teach them and instruct them, this is what happens when this takes place. So let me give you the outline tonight. Number one, for a church to stay healthy without a pastor, we must remember who really leads the church. Colossians 1:18 reminds us, He is the head of the body, the church. That's Jesus Christ. Do we believe that tonight? Christ is the head of the church. He's the cornerstone, but He's also the head, the founder. He's also the head of the church. The pastor isn't the head. Jesus is. A pastor is just the under-shepherd. But Christ is the owner. He bought this church. The church, if I can use this analogy, one day it comes when God is done with me as the pastor of this church, and then it's going to be under new management, but not under new ownership. Because ownership's never going to change unless a group of people give this up, then you'll be under new ownership. Right. That's right. But if it's God's church, it's never going to be under new ownership, but maybe new management. Right. So he is the head of the church. Christ never changes. Let me say this. This is why this series of lessons that in Sunday school are so important. Why this is so important. Study. Grow. Study to show thyself approved unto God, not approved unto the pastor. If you want your pastor to be proud of you, that's a natural thing. And I have no problem acknowledging growth, but you all want God to be proud of you. And so we want to please Him. Your faith should be tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't buy into this nonsense that giving honor where honor is due is man worship. We don't give in to the, well, my parents weren't perfect. Well, look at their kids. It's obvious. There are no perfect parents. There's no perfect kids either. Well, the pastor's not perfect. Duh. We're not even going there. But you can still honor your pastor by honoring God. And if he truly has the right mindset, that's what pleases him. But when the time, if something unexpected happens, I don't want you to panic because Jesus is still on the throne. Amen. You know, I hope the Lord gives me a lot of time and I'm doing what I can to work on my health. Don't I look good up here? I mean, I'm doing what I can and I've cut my taco intake way down. Not completely, but way down. But it's up to him. It's true of all of us. But remember who really leads the church. Well, we got to have a pastor. Well, yeah, it's That's a biblical office. Well, who you got to have is Jesus. And if he's at his proper place, then everything's going to be okay. Everybody all right? Okay. Number two, remember the mission never pauses. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. The mission never goes on hold. If a church finds himself without a pastor, the Great Commission is still in effect. So if the Lord, the time comes when I'm not the pastor, that doesn't mean the Great Commission is out of this book. You keep winning souls. You keep baptizing converts. You keep discipling them. You keep doing what you know to do. Think about this. And by the way, the gospel, you know, we can take, it's okay to take a vacation, and it's okay taking a period of time, but the gospel doesn't. Well, we're just going to sit here and wait till you get a new pastor. You got to hurry, or the gospel's not going to be in effect. No, the gospel's still in effect. See, think of the early churches. A lot of them didn't have a pastor. That's why they were waiting on the letters to come back from Paul. But what did they keep doing? They kept meeting. They kept praying. They kept preaching. They kept serving. Because the mission belonged to God, not to a certain man. So remember, the mission never pauses. It continues on and continues on. That's why Brother Gray's down here on the front row. The generation before him, when they all went to heaven, you know, soul winning still stayed in effect. They didn't take the Bible with them. You know, it's still here. And you know, we think we're the generation that's going to be here forever. But the time's going to come when God moves us off the scene. And when that happens, that Bible, the King James Bible, is still going to be here. Amen. The command is still going to be here. And you younger generation, you have a duty.
That's right.
Well, I didn't ask for it. It doesn't matter if you ask for it. You have a duty and a responsibility to keep this church moving forward. That's why I've said to you, I've got a big vision, and I don't have a problem casting it out there. I don't know that I'll ever get to enjoy the fulfillment of that vision. But if God allows us to do it, there's a generation that comes behind us that can enjoy it. And I may be here to build it, so to speak, so that a generation can use it. That way, that'll help some of you say, well, I'm up in years. I can't see that. I can't see that vision. Well, we're leaving something behind.
Amen.
Number three, remember, every member carries the work. How many members? Every member carries the work. Well, I'm glad we got a pastor that's high energy. We got a pastor that doesn't slow down. We got a pastor that does all these things. We got a pastor with vision, so I can just sit back and relax. That's not Bible.
You're right.
You know, and if you're around here long enough, you'll find out that pastor with high energy is going to put pressure on you to keep you from relaxing.
Amen.
But it's not me putting the pressure on you.
Yeah, right.
It's the Word of God. It's lost souls. It's a judgment seat of Christ. But every member is important in this church. I emphasize this from time to time. It's a good time for me to reemphasize it. It doesn't matter how long you've been a part of this church. It doesn't matter what talents you have or don't have, what you offer or don't offer. And Pastor, I wish I could give more than you offer. You just give as the Lord commands you. Every member is important.
Amen.
It's not one man. It's the whole body. God never intended the church for there to be one participant, one worker, and everybody else just is spectators and claps. See, this is why it's important what I just reemphasized about the offering. Everybody participate. It's why it's important. I make the same call, if you will, the same pressure, if you will. Everybody should be praying.
That's right.
Sunday school lesson, you're getting the theme these few weeks. Everybody should be studying.
Right.
Everybody should be witnessing.
Yep.
Because it's not one person that's supposed to do all these things. And if every member is involved, we got a strong, healthy church. It's sad the average church, small group of people, do all the work. They give all the money. And it's why people fall by the wayside, because they're not invested. And it shouldn't be that way. Everybody should be involved. Now, you may not be able to be involved in something that somebody else is involved in. And when I say that, I just mean serving. It doesn't mean some of you shouldn't sing in the choir, unless it's the BCA alumni choir. But there's a place of service. Every member, let me ask a question. If this church found itself without a pastor for 3 months, would it stop doing what it's doing? 6 months? A year? Would everything stop? Or would you say, Pastor, we don't even want to talk about it. No, we have to think about it. Because you can't wait till that time. Or, well, that time is so far in the future. I hope so. But I don't know so, and neither do you. So we have to make sure, we have to carry the work now. Are you with me?
Yes,
carry the work now, so when that time comes, we just keep doing whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing. That's why you Sunday school teachers, that's why it's important for you to understand you're not just getting up and reading a lesson. You're an extension of the pastor. You're teaching the Word of God. You have that influence. You're training, and you want to produce other teachers. You want to produce other because you want this church to just continue on and continue on and continue on and continue on. And that's the goal. Every member carries the work. This is not a church that has a class system. Well, you're part of the elite group, and you're part of this. Matter of fact, every time there seems all my trouble comes from those that think they're an entitled elite group. And I have to cut them out. Why? Because there is no elite group. We are all sinners saved by the grace of God. By the way, I didn't choose the call to preach for myself. God just created me to do it. That's His call. Well, I don't like your personality. Me neither, but God gave it to me. It's the only one I got. Well, I wouldn't do that way. You're probably right, but God didn't make you the pastor.
Right.
I didn't. Who the pastor? I didn't choose this for me. I'm happy to do it because He created me to do it, but you get the point I'm making. I'm just happy to be part of God's church. And if this is what He's chosen for me, I'm going to do it. But if He hasn't chosen it for you, you're still just as important as a member of His church. And what He gives you, this scares me. I'm going to pause there so you can wonder what that is. It's a scary thought to think that the next pastor is in one of our Sunday school classes. I mean, I look around at these kids and it's like, Lord, please, no, not him. Not him. So, Pastor, you don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But could be. And by the way, if you want it, it ain't you because you're too dumb. But I do want, we don't know who God's raising up to go. I don't know this to be true. And honestly, nobody is in my mind right now. But that church that we're helping, the next pastor might be here. It's important. Why are you saying that? Because it's important for all of us to carry our weight, what God has given us to do. You men that are ushers, you be the best ushers that you can be. It's important. In many cases, that's the first thing they see. And now as I think about that, we need to change some things around. But to know, first thing people see, it makes a difference to make people feel at home and feel welcome and know where to go when they need to find a certain place. And so all of these things are important. Number four, remember, unity is our greatest protection as a church. And I've explained to you, unity is not common thought. It's common cause. That's the great beauty of the church. God will take people who are so different and think different. Well, you're just trying to program everybody to think like you. I'm not. But we ought to think in a way of what does Christ want? That's what I want everybody to think. But there are places where they try and, well, you need to think like this and be this. No, I just want you to be the best version of you, and we all need to surrender our will to what does God want from us and what does God want for His church. It's pastor's vision. It's not my vision. I cast the vision that God puts in my heart. Can I just say, I'm vulnerable with God's vision? It's a big vision. I would be crazy or full of myself or both to put that out there. I can't do that vision. We can't fulfill. God's got to do it. This is what God, really reach Jacksonville? Absolutely. You really think we're going to reach Jacksonville? Yeah. How are we going to do it? The only way we know how. We just got to start one at a time. We got to start. We've got 33 classes. We need to get that to 66. Then we need to double that. We got Bible studies that we need to start and say, well, how are we going to service them? I'm teaching us a little bit about it tonight. Unity. If a church finds itself without a pastor, they've got to keep that one mind around the Scripture, around the Word of God. Because, and this is the counsel I gave that church when I was there, is y'all have got to stay together. You've got, because everybody's got an opinion. And part of my responsibility as your shepherd is to say, no, everybody gives their opinion, we're not getting anything done. This is where God has us. This is what God is doing. Well, why do you get to be the say-so? If you want to be the say-so, go start you a church and you take all the responsibility that goes with it. But this is the way we have to go. So if this church finds itself without a pastor one day, and it will find itself in a transition one day, in this church, we transitioned from my father to me, and you weren't without a pastor. It went right from one to the other. And I pray that's the way it happens the next time. Amen. That's in my heart. That's my plan. Who are you going to give it to? Jack better hurry up. Now, that's up to God. Right. I'm not going to give it to anybody. That's up to God. Amen. But if something happens that we don't have planned, this church needs to stay unified. If God were to take me home tomorrow, say, what do we do? You know what to do. You know what to do. You keep the vision is there, the plan is there, the responsibility is there. It's not mine, it's God's. And you fulfill it. Everybody okay? Number five. Okay, by the way, I haven't been to the doctor and haven't got a diagnosis. I'm just going to throw that out there. And since I had my health issues, I'm doing a lot better. So please don't read into this. I don't want to get flowers tomorrow at the house. I'm trying to be a faithful responsibility shepherd in teaching in case something does happen. Okay. Number five. Remember, God calls the shepherd, not man. Now, this is where I'm going to go against the tradition and the normalcy of the Baptist church, which I find myself doing a lot in these days. Remember, God calls the shepherd, not the man. Let's review. Whose church is it?
God.
It's God's church. If it's His church, He sends the man for the church. Pastors are not hired like employees. Now, IRS paperwork may look at it and say, well, he's an employee of that church. I am not an employee of the Emmanuel Baptist Church. I'm the pastor. From a scriptural standpoint, I'm the under-shepherd for God. God calls that shepherd. You will not find in Scripture a pulpit committee. You won't. That is a traditional thing. That the pastor steps out, we got to put a committee of sheep together to find a shepherd. You won't find it in the Bible. Now, here's the point where, in spite of what we have done, God has still used that. It's not a sin, but in a lot of cases, I'm going to point out, it's not wise. And I believe there's a better way, the Bible way, the Bible precedent. That's why you don't have to rush. The advice I gave that church is don't go. I mean, if somebody contacts you and says, I want to be your pastor, that's not the right person. You want someone, and why this church is so special is because pastor and people are aligned like that. We have the same heart. That didn't just happen. You had to be patient with me, and I had to be patient with you. We had to walk through valleys and mountains together to be like this. We have a certain spiritual DNA that not everybody out there has. And so, we to be like this, you have to let God send that man. God calls the shepherd, not man. Now, that does not mean that some people don't take leadership and say, you know, this is, how do we find out who it is? You know, there are deacons, there are trustees, there are those that God has set in the wise leadership. But understand, you don't have to go putting out a resume and say, we want you to send a resume to be part of our church. God blesses man's ignorance. God overcomes. But I think we'd be better off remembering that's God's responsibility to send the person to His church. If something were to happen to me, you don't have to have a pastor by next Sunday. Matter of fact, that would hurt my feelings. When should we get one? When God sends him. He might would send him right away. He might would take a long time to send him. But it's his church. I told the church this, and it was a sobering, where I was in Tennessee. I think it was a sobering moment, but I think it was a very helpful moment. It's good for us to hear it. There's not enough scriptural pastors for all the churches that need one. So churches without pastors have got to decide they want a pastor that's not equipped, maybe even not called, not ready, or do they want to go without one? There's not. You say, what's the solution to that? God calls the man. God sends him. We don't panic. You don't force someone to fill a pulpit. God calls the shepherd, not man. Now, I understand that teaching goes against the tradition. And I'm not saying it's wicked. I'm not saying it's evil. And I'm not saying any of that. But more churches have been destroyed by calling the wrong pastor than not having a pastor. I can think of churches that they will never be what they once were or never be what they could have been because of this right here. Group of people, well, we got to get a pastor, and their emotions pick it, their emotions put ahead, and it's the principle, and they could keep, it's God's church, they could keep going. God can send a pastor, God can send a man. Right. And God calls the shepherd, not the man. Number six. So what do we do, Pastor? That's not number six. I'm asking the question to prep number six. You remember the New Testament precedent. Churches operated faithfully until God sent a pastor in the New Testament. In the New Testament, there weren't enough trained men. People are getting saved, baptized. There was no time for them to go through Bible college and get educated to be the pastor. Churches were planted faster than leaders could be assigned. What did they do? They didn't shut down. Well, it's God's plan for the half pastor. I agree with that. But God's got to put His man in that place. And by the way, if you study Scripture, there's a word, Ichabod. There were some times God writes the word Ichabod, and He ain't sending a pastor. So can you explain that? That's not my business to explain. I don't know that. There are times God sends a man and the society in that place rejects him. God doesn't have to keep sending somebody. God can say, you had your shot. So why don't we have, it might be that God's not sending one. But if you think of that New Testament precedent, these churches, they were getting saved. We look at 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the carnal church at Corinth. Y'all know that the church at Corinth was carnal? I mean, I've often been reading my scripture and looking around, and I was like, man, am I in Corinth? What? We're carnal. But the reason why they had the divisions and the carnality is they were brand new Christians with no leadership. Well, Paul led me to Christ. Apollos led me. There was no pastor. They were waiting on Paul's instruction. This is why they were disappointed when Paul said, I can't come. But I'm going to send this person. They were organizing churches faster than they had a man to pastor them. So what did they do? They looked to that spiritual, that apostolic, those apostles, to send the pastor. Now, I know what some, there's no apostles. I know there's no apostles today. But there's a precedent of seasoned, discerning, spiritual men that God used to set some churches in order and to send a man. What did they do if they didn't have a pastor? They organized that church. It was planted. They didn't shut down. They kept meeting. They kept praying. They kept serving. Paul would ordain some and send them. Titus was left to set in order some things. See, the churches functioned before a pastor was present. Now, I hesitate to teach this for a couple of reasons. One, I don't want you to think something's going on with me. And two, I don't want you to think you can live without me. It's better for pastor and people and pastor. But the truth of the matter is, to use our current situation, we should be starting Sunday school classes and Bible studies and all across this city faster than we can get a man ready to put there. Well, we don't have a man, so we're not going to start there. Why don't we just win some people, see if we can get together and say, God, here's a group of Christians that want to grow. You need to send them a man. And in the meantime, we can meet once a week as opposed to every time, or they can watch the live stream. Everybody okay with me? That's the New Testament precedent. Some would criticize what this church has done. I think it's very wise. Not because they've asked me, but because they're wise enough to know that we need somebody that we can depend on to give us some spiritual insight of who should be. Somebody, will you vet them, Pastor Neil? If can we call you for? I think that's wise. I'm not the Apostle Paul. I'm not one of the apostles. But I think I do know a few things. And for them to do that, I think it's very, very wise. And I think that's the New Testament precedent. If this church ever finds itself without a pastor, there's a precedent of how to go about it. You should reach out to another man of God that this church is comfortable with, has the spirit of this church. I'm not going to name names, but you know who they are. You know who comes in and preaches and visits and attends our meetings, and it just feels like they're one of us. That may not mean they need to be the next pastor, but they know the heart of this church. And so they can help, because truth of the matter is, there are a bunch of men out there, and I hate to say this, but there's a bunch of men out there that's just looking for an easy paycheck. And they will prey on the emotions and the grief of a group of people, fleece them dry, and then leave them with nothing to show for it. So to protect yourself and for a church to protect itself, it should depend on somebody to say, nope, that's not the one. That's not the one. Because they would know the heart of this. That's the New Testament precedent. They didn't stop the work. They just kept moving forward for the cause of Christ. And that is the New Testament precedent. Now, I'm teaching this to us because we want to be healthy if this ever takes place here. But at the same time, I believe what we're doing now is going to happen more and more. I believe in the future, others will reach out to us and say, we need help. I have a list of several churches that I've been, men have contacted me and said, do you have anybody? Pastors who need to return over a church because of their age. Pastors that don't have a church, churches that don't have a pastor. Do you have somebody? And I'm like, I have some that I'd like to send, but they're not. No, I don't. You say, well, do you feel like you have to send somebody? No, I don't have to send somebody. My job is to pray about it. And if God puts somebody on my heart, then that's a conversation. But I'm praying about it. But how can I help? And there's going to be more churches that don't have pastors because, sadly, there's not enough men. And you say, well, that's a big problem to have. I'd rather have more churches and not enough men than have too many men and not enough churches. Because we need to keep seeing people saved, seeing these groups established. Now, we do, you mean young men, you need to surrender. If God's calling you, you need to surrender. I'd be okay if you volunteer. But if God don't place you there, He ain't going to place you there. You don't have to worry about that. I might end up in it. No, God's not going to put you there. And if you'll listen to your pastor, you'll get some direction of what you should and should not do. But you ought to surrender to that. Now, let me give you number 7. This is the last one. Remember our Baptist heritage. Now, I've made this statement. Let me make it again. More churches have been ruined by the wrong pastor than not having a pastor. Ruined by having the wrong pastor than not having a pastor. You would be better off. There's enough spiritual leadership here to hold out for that right person than get the wrong one in here. You trust me on that. There's historical examples. Now let's consider some Baptist history. We have the Bible truth and the Bible precedent. That's enough. But let's put a layer of our Baptist heritage history on that. You have the Frontier Baptist churches. That's not a name of a church, Frontier Baptist Church. But churches that were started on the frontier. When America was first settled, there weren't pastors everywhere. On the frontier, churches might only see a preacher once a month. Sometimes once every 2 or 3 months. But they didn't quit. Families still gathered. Men still read scripture. The women still taught the children. They still sung hymns. They still collected offerings. The church still functioned. So whenever they did get that preacher to come through, you hear these old-time evangelists, the Sam Jones and these others, and I know he wasn't a bad, but you hear these others come through, where do you think they preached? These places that didn't have a church that were waiting for somebody to come preach the Word of God to. But in the meantime, Dad was studying the Bible because it was Dad's turn the next time the families got together to give the Bible study. And they kept it together. Now, is it better to have a pastor for every place? Yes. And we have church planters that come through, some we support. I feel called to this city. I'm going to start a church there. Praise the Lord for that. If we had more men who would do that, I believe in our country there's a handful of Christians in every major city, probably in every town, that if somebody would just come in and say, hey, God's called me here to start a church, you could probably get something started. Right. Now, it's not as easy as that sounds. Right. Yeah. But it's better if there's a man for every church. But if there's not, the church is on the frontier. The old circuit riders. This is history. Y'all familiar with this? Okay. All right. There were early Baptist preachers that'd ride horseback hundreds of miles between churches. One preacher might serve 10 or 15 congregations. He couldn't be there every week. So what about the weeks he wasn't there? The church members led. They prayed. They read the Word. They exhorted one another. That was better than nothing at all. Those churches grew. The people who understood this is our church, we're serving God together. You think the early independent Baptist churches, even in the early 1900s, there are many rural Baptist churches they called a pastor only after months of prayer and waiting. They weren't desperate to fill the pulpit. Why is that? They were determined to find God's man. You can get there's a difference in a pastor and a hireling. There's a difference in a pastor and a hireling. And if you say, I don't know what the difference is, you got to thank God for that. Because if you've ever had a hireling as your pastor, you know what a hireling is. It is far safer to wait with no pastor than to rush the wrong pastors, I've said. More churches have been destroyed by the wrong pastor than by no pastor. It can be inconvenient to not have a pastor. It's not ideal to not have a pastor. But I'm just teaching you this because it's better to wait and let God send the right pastor than to say, well, I heard Brother so-and-so give a devotional one time, and I heard three amens. He must be the guy. Or somebody say, here's my opportunity to get in. You better make, the church better make sure God sent the man. The wrong shepherd can wound families, divide people, hurt doctrine, and damage a church for years. There's been churches survive months without a pastor. But there's also been churches that take decades to try and recover from the wrong one. So we have a historical pattern. This is good for us to teach because as we do start some of these Bible studies, and there's pockets of town, we may start other churches, and it may start out as they get one time a week, somebody there preaching. So what happens if you get six or seven going? We just do the best we can. I'll use this as an illustration. Brother Amos Medford, the Medfords started a Sunday school class in their home in Mandarin. You know the part of Jacksonville we don't go to or talk about across the river? It is better, and you may disagree with me, but you're wrong. It is better for the people on that side of the, we know how big Jacksonville is, right? On that side of the city, to drive to that Bible study 1 hour a week than to go to some non-denominational community church. It's better than to get the truth that 1 hour than get the false doctrine all the other times. And what will happen is they'll get that truth, then they may hop on the live stream then, and who knows, we may get it, if it grows big enough, we may start a church over there. Say, so who's going to go pastor it? I am. So how are you going to do that? There's a reason why we moved our service to Thursday night, and it wasn't me just being ornery. They can watch a live stream. Well, I just don't think we ought to do that. That's okay. Just let people sit and not do anything. Let's just not try and pioneer. Let's not try and start and get a group of people together so God says, I've got to raise up a man and send them over. Let's just let Jacksonville go as it is. How's that working? No, we have to understand there's Bible precedent and historical precedent for what we're doing with this one church. But also, if we ever find ourselves in that situation, don't feel like you've got to fill that position. It ought to be something there's fasting and praying and not somebody that comes in and tickles your ears. You ought to have that spiritual oversight and say, who are we going to trust? Not just among us, but who is it? And by the way, if I don't have them in here, it ain't them. Oh, it grieves my heart to see somebody come in and people come in and they can do whatever they want to do. It just proves they're not the right person. To bring somebody in that changes the spirit and the DNA of that church, that's not what's supposed to happen. So you need somebody safeguarding. You know, sheep need a shepherd. They have the great shepherd, but that under shepherd. And I'm looking at, and I know you know my heart, I'm looking at the best people in the world. I'm going to look on this side. I'm looking at the best people in the world. I'm looking at great Christian people, wisdom. But God didn't make you a shepherd. And He puts things in a shepherd heart that a shepherd can see. Doesn't mean you're less of a Christian. Doesn't mean you're less saved. Doesn't mean you're not. Doesn't mean you won't be standing in front of the pastor at the judgment seat of Christ. Some of you will be, but you know, but the judgment seat of Christ. It doesn't mean that at all. The best Christian in this church may not be standing behind the pulpit, maybe sitting out there. So it has nothing to do with that. But it's just the insight that God gives the shepherd. So if you find yourself without a shepherd, you need to get another shepherd to give you help of who God has. God is still capable of taking care of His church. Well, we don't have a pastor. You're still God's church. That's one thing I want to communicate to that church. You belong to Him. You're just as much of God's church as any church there is. Don't hold your hand in shame. Hold your head high. This church is the same cornerstone as every other New Testament church. Just the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same shepherd of your church as every church. He's the same one as the Lord Jesus Christ. Now God uses that man, that pastor, that office. It's a sacred office. If it's sacred, don't you think Jesus, the Lord's going to be picky about who He puts in it? I think so. But sometimes we don't have this precedent, or we haven't been taught. You say, oh, you mentioned some places that it didn't recover. I don't, if they were taught and some of them were taught, that's on them. But if they weren't taught, somewhere along the line that responsibility goes, there has to be some teaching. So 30 years from now, 40, 50, and we don't have a transition, if we don't have a transition like we had before, you've got some things to fall back on. What's the scriptural precedent? This is also good for us with the ministry I believe God is helping us with and helping other churches. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be out from behind this pulpit every week helping these churches. I thank God for modern technology. Because I don't like riding a horse. I don't. But now I can say, look, I ain't riding a horse up here. You can log into the live stream. And they can get teaching from a pastor. Preaching from a pastor. And I believe there's Bible precedent. I believe there's more and more. I mean, we've had two locations before. Two properties, and I went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I think it was J. Frank Norris, pastor of two churches. One in Texas, one in Michigan. They were both thriving churches. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to pastor two churches, but I kind of am. But, say, well, I just doesn't make any sense. What does the Bible teach? You say, Pastor, we don't want you to have, you know, I appreciate that, but this is something that needs to be taught. Why? Because we want to be healthy. So while you have a pastor, everybody with me? While you have a pastor, let's serve. Let's grow. Let's teach that next generation needs to step up and say, okay, there's some Bible teaching here. It's my responsibility to keep this thing going. Because this isn't my parents' church. This is my church that God has placed me in. And so whatever generation falls off the scene, it doesn't matter. The Emmanuel Baptist Church should just keep churning along. It doesn't mean there won't be hiccups. Doesn't mean there won't be battles. But hopefully the pastor's preparing you well enough for the times coming. The vision is out here. The souls need to be saved. The opportunity is there. This is God's church. He's touched this church. He's God's Spirit is here. As long as His Spirit's here, it's just another vessel. Which vessel is He going to put up here? But you don't want to get the wrong vessel. Amen. So you have to be patient. Let God send the man. Amen. Now, I'm not quitting. And you can't fire me. Remember that part said I'm not an employee? So there you go. God sent me here. And one of my famous quotes is like, well, God sent me here. He won't send the devil to tell me to leave. And so I've been told to leave before, but that's what I say. He didn't send the devil to tell me to leave. But I want us to be healthy. And this is good for us. This is God's church, but it's also going to help us with this teaching to help other churches and to be a help to them. And you need to understand something, that God has shown us favor. And we fought the battles. We've done what's right. God is blessing our church. This church is growing. The influence continues to grow. And if we're selfish with it, He's going to move on. And He ought to. So I want to help churches. I want to, you know, that we need more churches. And we say, well, they need a pastor. No, we need that church to keep going. God knows where every group of people is. Now, the responsibility is on them to pray and do right, but God will raise up that person. And so does this make sense? Does this help? And so we always want to be tied to the Word of God and do follow that precedent. And like I said, God... Pulpit committees aren't evil. Some of them are. But in general, it's not evil. But man came up with that. Man's come up with some good ideas and some dumb ones. But man came up with that. You know, we look at our, just use it as an illustration, we look at our government and say, oh, it's the best government. Our government is only as good as the people in it. You know, I don't want to get on that tangent. I don't trust my government. I don't trust the justice system, not one bit. It's only as good as the people in it. That's only as good as the people in it. Why? Because all that's going to take, all that determines that is man. I know God's in control of everything, but this is not man's organization. This is not. See that judge. We say, do you want to keep him or not keep him? You know what I'm talking about? You don't know. You don't even know who he is. I don't know. You know, I don't know that politician, they changed because they lied. And we don't know their heart, we don't know their thought, but God knows the heart of every man. And if we'll step back and just say, God, we're going to do what you've commanded us to do. This is your church. This is your institution. This is your bride. You know who we're supposed to have. We'll just wait on you to send them. Now, when he sends them, don't lock the door on them. And the danger is when a church, the flip side of that is if a church goes, well, they lay like they have power. Oh, I can make a decision. But if you keep your spirit right, you keep doing what you're supposed to do, and God sends that man, it's a wonderful thing when pastor and people are like this. And I'm thankful that we are like this. We are, aren't we? Okay. We're like this. Because you go a lot of places, and pastor and people are not like this. And it's a special thing. And so I want to be faithful as your pastor to teach you what I'm required to teach you, the whole counsel of God. And if we look at it wrong, it's like, well, what is it going to be to benefit for us now? Why could we? No, I don't want to think about it. This is God's church. He just allowed me to steward it now as the pastor. He's allowing you to steward that Sunday school class. He's allowing you to steward that position. Everybody still with me? He's allowing you to steward that chair you're sitting in. It doesn't belong to you. Now, some of you are like, I've been sitting here for 34 years. Bless God, it does belong to me. Okay, let's break that down a little bit. It belongs to God. And so we want to be a good steward. You say, Pastor, what will make you happy that your life was you? Well, one, I just want you to grow closer to the Lord. I want people to be saved. But if I can look down from heaven and just see it going. Well, Pastor never got to cut the ribbon on that building. But there's a generation that got to. That's just what I want to see. And so let's be prepared for that. Be thinking, Mom and Dad, what's going to come after you? What's going to be there for your kids? Well, I'm going to be here forever. You don't know that. So, well, you're not. But you know what I mean by that. And so let's just be faithful. Okay.